what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering, and my name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today, June 24, 2010, in pagan time, in the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the fourth month, and the 21st day. At the beginning of every one of these offerings, of which this is the 25th of 26, I speak of a responsibility and a duty. Last week, I asked each of you all to take 45 seconds and take care of that responsibility and duty. This week, I will offer you at the beginning here, from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That, ladies and gentlemen, has been the purpose, the hope, the prayer that individuals would be gathered. Hence the name gathering. But that also, when we recognize that if there's two or three of us gathered together and that the Christ will be here, then that's where our responsibility comes in to praise and bless Him. And we cannot praise and bless the Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, without praising and blessing the Father. Thusly, Father in heaven, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son. I praise you and bless you for having the knowledge and in being your will that your Son will be here among us, though we be scattered across many, many miles and maybe continents. Those of us with eyes and ears, Father, we are trying. We are trying to open our eyes even more than they're open. And I appreciate it, Father, so much, your effort. And at the same time today, Father, I remind you of the words of your Son, and that you will help us, and that us that we trust in him, you will help us. Now, I do not say that you should, you know, tomorrow just, you know, drop $1 million in each of our hands. But, Father, what I do request is that you give each of us the needed little bit of attaboy, the little bit of a pat in the head in the coming day. And each of us may need that little attaboy in a little different fashion, Father. But right now, Father, the children need a little bit of help. I remind you, Father, that we are weak. We are without very much knowledge. I remind you, Father, that you designed us to be in that way, so that you could send what you want to send. So, Father, right now I ask you, send each of us just a little something of what we need. Thank you so very much, Father. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I've got a little bit of business to take care of prior to getting into this 25th week of 26. Number one, I would like to remind everybody that the materials from this course are available at freedom-school.com. I'd like to remind everybody about a fellow down there named James that does all this for free, and he does an enormous job, and this week I put a little more pressure on him. And when you go to the website tomorrow to get the materials for next week, you're going to find they're not up. That's because I got backed up. And so they probably aren't going to get up there till maybe Tuesday or so. So that is not James's fault. That is my fault. I would also like to let everybody know that the MorningLibertyShow.com is now carrying a lot of materials. This is not to create a competition for Freedom-School. This is just that there are other people that find information about the gathering offering, and R.J. Hender of the Morning Liberty Show has taken the time and is putting the material up. So I thank him, and he has some different people that, they're on RBN. And they come there and they get some research materials. So I thank R.J. Hender for that, and he's supposedly up and running for that stuff. The next item that I would like to offer to each of y'all, and I hope you will have a pencil and a piece of paper, and is we're going to start tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time, and we're going to have a telephone conference call. And the phone number is 712-432-0075. I will repeat that number one more time. 712-432-0075. You will need this access code number, 715-718. Repeat the access code number, 715-718. Now, if you're listening to this audio sometime in the future, this is a phone number that is good at this time. And if this phone number changes or if the conference call doesn't continue, you need to go to freedom-school.com to see updates. Today in pagan time is June 24, 2010. In 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, whatever the heck it is, remember, if you're listening to this, check the website to see if this conference call is still going or if the numbers have changed. You know, we can't sit there and have something and go back and audit this and change it at a later date. And that'll save you from getting mad at me if in a year or two there's a different number or if it doesn't keep going on. We need to thank a young lady named Scarlett. And this young lady, you know, she is an amazing young lady. She volunteered to call up and get this stuff done. There's only one negative thing about Scarlett. She and her sisters are already married. And I say that very lovingly, and that is as good a compliment as I can say. But, you know, she's a go-getter, and she is going to be trying to assist us in the evening. And she's done a lot of work, and I'm very appreciative of Scarlett. And I'm also very appreciative of her group. There are up to 10 individuals in her group that sit down and study these materials every week. And so really appreciate the people coming forward and doing things to assist this gathering offering. And they're not really assisting me as much as they're assisting you. So you might just have a little nice, you know, warm soft spot for James and for Scarlett and for others out there who I haven't mentioned their name. Okay, today we're going back to Chapter 1. And Chapter 1 was called Methods of Deception. One cannot tell the players without a scorecard. We're going to be into Part D. And the title for this is Offering Your Sons and Daughters by Fire to Moloch. Well, golly gee, you see people taking babies and throwing them in a fire? I mean, you know, you saw some of these, you know, science fiction movies and stuff. And, you know, nobody's doing that today, they say. Nobody's doing that. Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, here we're in Chapter 1, and here it is the second to the last week of the gathering offering. Why do I not go in order? Well, I've tried to explain this, and I'm going to try it one more time. It's because I believe people need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and to bring it together part by part by part. I'm not really sure that if I was taking this course for the first time, if I got to this part D in chapter 1, if I would say, wow, how in the world did this guy get there? I hope you'll understand that there's a reason why I jump from chapter to chapter. It may not make sense to you, and maybe it doesn't make sense, but to me it makes sense. So what is offering your sons and daughters by fire to Moloch? Could there be more to that than, you know, golly, who even pays attention to this? When is the last time you've ever heard a preacher talk about this? When have you ever heard anybody talk about this on the radio, one of the alternative media radio shows? And, you know, everyone that's listening right now, probably every single one of you said, I have never done that. My mom and dad never did that. My grandparents never did that. Would it possibly be quite upsetting to you to find out that you did it? Would it be upsetting to me to find out that I did it? Well, that's what this particular week is about, to find out whether or not you and I and others have done this without knowing it. Now, most of us, and this is going to be a little bit terse sounding, we are so enormously full of righteousness that we don't realize that our righteousness is self-gaseous inflation. We have been deceived, and yet we don't realize that we're deceived. And so, self-righteous, gaseous inflation, and I'm stating that I think everybody that I've ever known, including me in my life, has been full of that. Not too nice. I guess I'm really out here trying to become the most popular guy on the radio shows all across the country, huh? All right, so let's think about that a second. Now, on the website, you will see a color-pictured page up there. If you don't have a computer, I'm sorry, I don't have one either. And you will see this is entitled Modern Gods, Obsession is Worship. If you look down at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see there's a copyright, 2009, Guardians of the Word. And this is from a book called Sin Sell. I am not endorsing this book. I'm not trying to sell this book. This just happens to be a work that a man did, and he goes by just the term The Warner. And this man just is fabulous in graphics. He's fabulous in certain areas of understanding, and he allowed me to borrow this page and one other page for this course. No charge, no nothing. He didn't even say that, Jerry, talk about copyright 2009 Guardians of the Word. No, I didn't. He didn't ask for that. I'm just saying that's where I got it from. Now, in here, it may be sort of humorous to some of you folks, and I go to the bottom right-hand side, and you see what appears to be a female with a big old fat cheeseburger on top of her head. And, unfortunately, that body right there is kind of a, in-shape body. But in our society today, we're all the time talking about people that you hear on national news. 65% of the people are fat. You look up a little farther in there and you see a picture of what appears to be a man with a tank on his head. Beside him, somebody in roller skates with a bomb on his head. Beside them, another guy with appears to be a stealth airplane on top of his head. In another place, you see a picture of a man with some kind of semi-automatic or automatic rifle on top of his head. And you look across this and you say, well, I don't do any of these things. Oh, really? Do you mean that not one of these things have you ever done in your life? For example, there's one there with an individual, appears to be a female body, and has money and gold on top of their head. Well, unfortunately, I can tell you, I was very, very obsessed at one time in my life with making a lot of money. And I obeyed the rules of Babylon, and the IRS, the government, and all the other things so that I could go out there and make a lot of money. Now, I wasn't doing that to go out there and have a whole bunch of high-priced cars and fancy clothes and all that kind of stuff. I was doing that to put it away for my family, make sure my family had a good thing. But still, I was obsessed with making a whole lot of money. I look down there and I see one thing here with appears to be a man walking, and he's got a computer on his head. Know anybody that's obsessed with being on their computer all the time? Do we see children that spend hours and hours and hours on the phone? I mean, on their computer. Well, it doesn't take a whole lot of explanation, ladies and gentlemen, to start thinking and see where we have stuck some gods on top of our heads. And this has happened to us. Maybe not all of those have happened to each of us, but one or two of them probably have. Now, what does this have to do with offering your sons and daughters by fire to Moloch? Well, we're going to continue on this part. And in my paperwork, I have some very simplistic piece around the first page. Molech equals Malcolm equals Moloch. Then the next line, Moloch equals Milcom equals Molech. Milcom equals Malcham equals Molech. Malcham equals Milcom. Now, I have also, Milcham is missing. Now, if you look up each of those words in your strong states, you will find that where I have these equal signs, that these names all mean the same thing. Do you happen to notice that all of them have an M-A-O-L, an M-A-L, or M-I-L beginning? Do you remember part C? Do you remember something in the verbalization I said that the genetic heir to the high priest of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that his name had to start with M-I-L, M-O-L, M-A-L? And I pointed out to you something about Malchus, who had his ear cut off by Peter. Do you remember I said something about the Malchus sword that you can look up? I wonder if you want to think a little bit more about part C of chapter 1. I wonder if you might want to go back and read the verses that are in your Bible about each of these names. Now, we go back to the title of this part, Offering Your Sons in Fire by Fire to Moloch. Moloch, Molech, Malcolm, Milcom, and so forth are just another way of saying the word Satan. Just happens to be in that old Hebrew type thing to confuse you. You think, oh, those are all different names. Nah, they're all the same name. They're all the same name for Satan. Now, moving on this, and I'm going to quote to you. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. This is out of 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 5. Okay, now, we see this name here, Milcom. We move right back up into our thing. We see, oh, Milcom, Malcom, and Moloch, all the same thing. Okay, gosh, we got that. Now I'm going to read you another verse. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 7. Now, all I did for you guys is to take and point out where you can see that Milcom and Moloch, same guys, and these guys are specifically associated with the Ammonites, or Ammon, being the country. Do you actually think
that if you did a little bit more studying, that if you went after and you studied this asterisk name and went to the Zidian, do you think that you could trace it back and all those also mean Satan? I think you can, because I've done that. So did Solomon know what he was doing at that time and place exactly? Probably not. He probably was not much more educated than you and I are today. But he got out there and said, hey, man, you know, we got this, you know, asterisk thing, and these people want to take it, you know, a lot of people want to worship this asterisk and have a temple for him, so let's go ahead and make the people happy. Okay, asterisk became Esther, which became Easter. This goddess was married to her brother Isis. Now, Isis became Zeus, who in the 12th century A.D. was written Iphis, I-F-E-S-U-S, which was written in the 16th century A.D. It became Jesus. Oh, my gosh, how many people am I really pissing off right now? And in the 20th century A.D., the name Jesus became Yahweh, Yeshua, to many. Oh, man, now I got, you know, 99% of the people out there mad at me. Well, you should have been mad at me after week two or week three, because I clearly point out to everybody that the Hebrew is a Canaanite language. It tells you in Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary that Hebrew and modern Hebrew are of a Hamitic language. Now, was I a little bit deceived by this? Well, not really, but did I go along with it for a little while? Yes, I did. And the main reason I really did it was because I was fitting in with these people that were giving me all the insights and all the reasons and studying and everything, and so I didn't fight them on Yahweh Yeshua. Okay? And you might say, well, golly, that's kind of bad. He kind of infiltrated and he didn't stand up right then. Yeah, I was trying to learn something. So I kind of kept my mouth shut and I just kind of, you know, chewed my tongue at times. Wasn't the best thing to do, but I wanted to see. I was around some people that really, really studied this issue. But they couldn't connect the dots and find out that Hebrew was a Canaanite language. Now, I did within a couple of years, within 2 years. I went over there and slammed them down real hard with a lot of research, and, you know, they're kind of ticked off, and they don't want to talk to me ever again. Even though it's in black and white and all the books they're using, they don't like it. So what happens is that there's wonderful people out there today, wonderful, caring, trying, wanting to do a good job people, and they're sitting there, and they're saying Jesus. They're saying Yahweh. They're saying Yeshua. And they're talking about Moloch. That's what they're doing. They're saying, hey, Moloch, I worship you. You know, you actually have to be able to go A, B, C, D, E, and so forth to be able to do what I'm talking to you about. You have to be able to connect the dots. It clearly says in the King James Bible, and in other Bibles, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, the Christ asked Peter, who do you say I am? And, of course, this is in verses 14 and 15, and Peter says, well, some people say you this, some people say you that. And the Christ says, hey, Peter, I told you, who do you say I am? Quit fooling around. And Peter snaps to him and he says, you are the only begotten Son of the Father in heaven. The Christ. His name's the Christ right now. That's his name. Now let us not be deceived entirely. Now, when he comes back with his army of 200,000, which it tells you clearly in the book of Revelation, it says it shall be written on his vestments, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and his name shall be written that no man knows how to spell it. I don't know what his name's going to be and how you spell it and say it when he comes back, because I'm told I don't know his name when it comes back. It says, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And he's going to be on his vestment, written a name that no man knows. But right now, today, I do have his word, and it says the Christ, and it says the Father. It does it. He never says, go back to the Canaanite language and call me Jesus. Go back to the Canaanite language and call me Yahweh Yeshua. Because what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen, without knowledge, but because it's been repeated to you all your life, all my life, the Christ was referred by everybody that I knew. They said, Jesus. And all my life, I said, Jesus. Okay, I didn't know. But when I started waking up and I started figuring out, I said, boy, it really is a good thing that the Christ is going to forgive all kinds of blasphemies, but he's not going to forgive any blasphemies that are against the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the Holy Ghost. Read that part in your Word of God. Now, we've made mistakes. The time is now that we need to get it straight. His name is the Christ. The Father's name is the Father. Now, I make mistakes once in a while. I'm talking to people and I say God. Well, God is spelled dog backwards. We have to get back to basics. We all have to get on the same page. And, you know, I know numerous folks that use Yahweh Yeshua. And I think they're good, hardworking, honest people and everything, but, you know, we're on the wrong page all the time. And if I stop and I say, you know, would you take a look at this? And would you study this? They don't want to do it. All they know is that I've said they're wrong. They don't want to look at the fact that I can prove it. You can prove it. We have to get on the phones. We have to get on your computers. You have to call into radio shows, and you have to correct people and say, folks, we had the wool pulled over our eyes, and the name is the Christ. Please quit calling the only begotten Son of the Father Satan. Please quit doing that. And please wake up and enjoy the fact that you've humbled and at yourself before the Master. That you said, I'm repenting. I made a mistake and I'm sorry and I'm not going to do it again. And I might slip a couple times, but I'm going to keep trying, Father. That's what this is about. It's called the baptism of repentance. And after the first usage of baptism of repentance, the word repentance is dropped in the Bible. It always means the baptism of repentance. To be baptism means you're immersed in repentance. And that's what has to happen every day of our lives. We're getting right down to the bottom of the hour break. And, you know, I heard the beep, and we should be running and hit some music right now. And I want to thank you, and I want each of you all to think about this. I'm not trying to be mean. Be back shortly.
Problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop. Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's 3-DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite had planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality. Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming back for the second half hour of week 25 of 26 weeks of a course called The Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and as always, I do offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Some people say, well, you sure sound pretty hard on us, yelling and screaming and calling us dingbats. Well, the only reason I'm calling you dingbats is because I already called myself dingbat 15 times more on myself, and before I called you a dingbat. Now I'm just wanting you to understand you were a dingbat. And that's part of what the Word of God said. Part of the Word of God said we're going to get down to the last days, we're all going to be deceived, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of people are going to start opening their eyes. The question is just how fast, and whether or not each of us is going to open our eyes enough to get into the supper. It's that simple. That's what it's going to boil down to. And you can't open your eyes unless you know who your master is, who your absolute, unequivocal allegiance belongs to. And that's, in essence, what I'm talking about today. Is your allegiance to yourself? Is your allegiance to some constitution? Is your allegiance to some spouse, to children? Is your allegiance to some sport, to money, to drugs, a computer? Well, let's think about this. It says in the book of Revelation, all those that worship the beast. So we might want to stop a second and say, what does the word worship mean? Well, that may conjure up emotions. Well, people bend down, they bow down. Well, that you know, you bend down, you bow down to your addiction of sports or money or whatever. You obey. When you worship someone, you obey and follow the rules. And those rules then become how you guide your life. When you worship the Father, when you worship the Christ, you obey and follow their law. It's that simple. And if anybody tells you something different than what the Christ says, you say, ah, I'm not doing what you say. It's clearly, I understand what the Christ said right here. I've studied it. I've worked on it. He don't say to eat pork. He don't say work 5, 7 days a week. He don't say don't keep the feast. He says keep the feast. He says keep the seventh appointed day. He doesn't say keep any seventh day you want to or not keep anyone. He says keep his appointed seventh day. We need to think about that. Now, offering your sons and daughters by fire to Moloch is the one thing that I really don't know anybody that hasn't been guilty of in this country. Because in this country has started and instigated economic wars over and over and over. The public is led to believe that, well, golly gee, if we don't go over there to Vietnam, them North Vietnamese are going to come over there and jump on the South Vietnamese, and it's going to be a domino effect. You ever take a look at how big that land is? Now, that war over there was about who was going to control the opium heroin trade. The French weren't able to keep that control. They weren't able to make a deal with the right heroin guys. The United States said, hey, we can't do that. You know, we got to have control of the heroin trade. That's what that war was about, folks. And various other wars have various economic problems. We recently find here in the last couple of weeks, like it was some kind of new discovery, there's trillions of dollars of minerals in Afghanistan. Oh, now we know why we're over there. Well, it's because we don't want those other guys that don't like us to have all that money. We got to have all that lithium. We got to have all the other stuff they got over there, and we got to steal it. And we got to make sure those people over there don't get too much of it, or they might become independent. Now, am I in love with any of them Afghanis or Iraqis, Iranians? No, I don't even know any of them. But they sure ain't bothering me. And everybody says, oh, well, you know, them, you know, them bad guys, you know, the Al-Qaeda's that came over and knocked down 9/11. Well, you know, if you're that wigged out, you really think that those kind of guys could do pull off that stunt, and you haven't paid attention, you know, you shouldn't be listening to me. That was all inspired by somebody that wanted to create a false flag and be able to blame something. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we are all guilty. We are guilty because of the fact we have had fathers and sons and brothers and sisters that have gone to a war, and we didn't know why the war was being waged. We just were thinking we were doing our patriotic duty. And loved ones have been killed and maimed and even mentally messed up for the rest of their lives. And so everybody gets out there and they have Memorial Day. And they have these big parades and they have all this kind of stuff. And what they don't understand is they are taking and honoring the worship of offering their sons and daughters by fire to Moloch. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, I wish my daddy and my son and my brother or whatnot didn't get killed over there in Nam or in World War II or right now going on in Afghanistan or Iraq. We really wish that didn't happen. But when you get out there as a group and you memorialize this, what you're memorializing is the instigation of economic war. That's what you're doing. And these poor people that, you know, if there's any group of people I'm sympathetic with in this country is the veterans and the men in service right now. Because they're actually getting they're getting shot, they're getting killed. They're dying, they're bleeding. But they don't know why they're doing it. Now, they're braver than hell, and they're doing a hell of a job. It's just that they don't know that they're doing the job for some rich, rotten, Canaanite Rothschild group. They're doing the job for Satan. They're murdering people. Now, they know they're murdering people, but they can't help it. They're ordered to mow these people down. We've all seen various video clips where our gunships come up and shoot the hell out of 25 or 30 totally unarmed individuals. Totally unarmed. And our guys, you know, they're doing their job. They're ordered to do it. If they don't do it, they'll get shot. And it makes them sick. It messes their head up for the rest of their lives. We got to stop doing this, ladies and gentlemen. And that's one of the reasons why we are being punished right now, why we're suffering. Because we have turned from the Father's laws, and we've got big cheeseburgers on our head. We're obsessed with the things that we're into. And we go make our money so that we can go do riding our motorcycle. We make our money so we can go do extra hunting when we don't need to go hunting. You know, it's ludicrous. You know, for years I've went hunting. And people would say, "Do you see any deer?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw a lot of deer." "Why didn't you shoot one?" I said, "Because I didn't want to shoot one." And once in a while I'd shoot one. But, the worst I ever did in my life, I shot two deer in 1 year, and I felt terrible about it. I felt terrible about it. And people said, "Why do you feel terrible?" I said, "Well, because I really should only shot one, but that guy was a real big one, the biggest one I ever seen. The next night, it was another one even bigger." And I said, "I feel terrible about that." And people go out there, and they kill because they got bigger horns. And they just keep killing. You know, that's obsession. To go out there and take one nice deer for your venison to eat, something like that, that's one thing. But there's people, they live to go out hunting. I mean, you know, in my county right here, when hunting season starts, everybody just basically shuts down. That's it. Everybody's going hunting. And, you know, it's the obsessive part that gets with people. They work to do their particular goofy thing. We're not supposed to do that. Now, as this concludes on this page 2, I'm going to read these things to y'all. It's going to be a little bit harder for me because one of my contact lenses fell out about 3 minutes ago. Do you pray to judges in a courtroom? Do you pray to your computer? Do you pray to your stomach? Do you pray to your spouse? Do you pray to your children? Do you pray to your job? Do you pray to your favorite sport? Do you pray to science? Do you pray to wars? Do you pray to your government? Do you pray to your constitution? Do you pray to your religion? Do you pray to your preacher? Do you pray to your inflated, gaseous, self-important mind? With the exception of number 2, 12, and 13 of the above that I just talked about, I did. I chose to repent. What will you do? I do not pray to any of that list up there anymore. I prayed to all of them except for the 2nd, the 12th, and the 13th. I never prayed to religion. I was blessed for that. I never prayed to a preacher or a priest or not. I was blessed at a very early age to pick up the Bible, read it, find out that they weren't teaching and saying what it said in the Bible. Number one, or number two up there, do you pray to your computer? No, never have done that. Number one up there, do you pray to judges in the courtroom? Yes, I did in the past. And I am very sorry about it. And if anything makes me more ticked off nowadays is to watch lawsuits and at the end of every motion, do you plaintiff prays that the court will grant his motion. You read my motions that I put out a couple weeks ago. Citizen requires that you grant this motion. I don't pray to anybody, which means to bow down, beg, obey, and follow the rules of anybody except the Father's laws as given by His only begotten Son, the Christ, the Master. Now, excuse me, that doesn't mean I'm any kind of big guy or and I'm any this, that, and the other. But I know my course. I know where I'm going. And that gives me a serenity. And what most people really want right now is they want to know who they are. They want to know where they're going. And they don't have this. They don't have serenity. Because they're being pulled from this idea to that idea. And they check in here and check in there and they don't know what they're doing. Because they haven't set their course. They haven't set their goal. Do you know people that say, well, you know, I'd like to flee to the mountains, Jerry, but I got this job. And my job's in Atlanta. Or how about, well, Jerry, I'd like to flee to the mountains of Judea. But my wife and my children, they like to have the big conveniences of Dallas, Texas. And, you know, how am I going to explain to everybody that we're living in a big, rich, fancy house, and now we're going to have to drop back to, you know, say 1,500 square feet. We're going to have to get out there and garden for our own food. We're going to have to raise some chickens and some eggs. We're going to have to raise some sheep or some goats and some cows. And we're going to have to actually get some calluses. But before that, you're going to have to get some blisters. And you're going to have to learn. And you're going to have to come out of Babylon. And, you know, my husband doesn't want to do that. What am I supposed to do? What you're supposed to do is understand that the primary, foremost, absolute allegiance belongs to the cross. And anybody that gets in the way of your being totally foremost, absolute allegiance to the Christ and the Father's law, you got to separate from that. I've been going through this, ladies and gentlemen, for 18 years. I can't tell you how bad it hurts my gut right now today. Over 95% of all the relatives of my family live in Florida. They all think I am a lunatic because 18 years ago I started saying, we got to get out of Florida. Now, I only got out of there 13 and a half years ago, okay? It took me a while to get going. I mean, I was kind of really locked up with a bunch of goofy contracts, and it just took me a while. I'm sorry. Today, people don't have that time. They better get out of there right now. But I don't know a single relative of mine in Florida that has listened to a single radio broadcast, that has read a single piece of paper, and they're just going merrily, merrily, merrily down their path. They're worried about their jobs, and they're worried about making their husband or their wife or their children happy. They're not paying attention to the times we're in. And there's not a thing I can do about it. And many, many people out there right now are going through this. And I can sympathize, I can appreciate, and I can understand what they're going through because I've gone through it. And it will rip your gut. You and I and any of those that have eyes and ears have to understand where our allegiance goes first. We pray only to the Father through the Christ. We pray to them and nobody else. You don't pray to your family. You don't pray to your job. You don't pray and say, well, the government, they're going to do this to me if I don't do that. Tough shit, government. Whatever the hell you want to do to me, come on, I'm keeping my Father's law. And I'm going to do what my Father tells me to do. And you know what? My Master the Christ said, fear not. He who can kill your body, but not your soul. Fear he who can kill your body and your soul. And he's talking about right there is that lake of fire. He can take the Christ, can kill your body and your soul and throw you in that lake of fire. In another place, the Master says, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life. Now, gain. seen in your life going to the supper. We're only down here for a blink of the eye. Now, when you're having physical trauma and you're starving and this, that, and the other, yeah, it's going to hurt and it's going to bother you a little bit. But it's only for a short time. And the last 2 weeks, I have tried to conclude each one of these offerings by talking to you and saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We are approaching those days in real earnest. The Master is not wanting a bunch of yellow-bellied, sap-suckered, weak-kneed, bleeding-heart liberal, save the entire every puppy dog in the world, do nothing, and he doesn't want them at his dinner. He wants big, strong, tough men and women. And we are the most blessed generation since the time of Adam. The book of Enoch says, in the latter days, every evil spirit that ever roamed the earth shall be present in the latter days. We are blessed. We're going up against all the bad guys, all the big ones and all the little ones. We got a chance. We're not going out against the Dallas Cowboys when they're Super Bowl champs. We're going up against every single pro football team that ever won the Super Bowl, and we're going to win. Because the Master, the Christ, has told us we're going to win. Now, that is fabulous to know. Who wants to go out and get in a fight with a little midget? Not me. I don't really, you know, didn't really think I wanted to go get in a fight to begin with, but now I've figured out, you know what, this is really great. I get to get out there and participate again, the biggest and the best in all of them. And you got that same opportunity. You just got to get your head wrapped around it. When you get your head wrapped around it, you understand, we get to have a one whopping good adventure. And look at it. The Christ says, lay up heavenly treasures, not earthly treasures. And that's what we're going to do, those with eyes and ears. And it's up to you to make up your mind. Do you want to stop offering your sons and daughters by fire to Moloch and quit praying to your stomach? Quit praying to your job. Quit praying to your constitution. Quit praying to the deception that has been put upon your life. And start following the Father's law. I may not be the brightest light bulb in the box, but I've never had anybody walk up to me and say you're the dumbest light bulb in the box. And I usually, by the skin of my teeth, seem to make it. And I've studied this, and I've studied this, and there is only one way to do this, and that's get under the jurisdiction of the Father's laws and the execution, the judge, jury, and executioner of the Christ, and trust in him 1,000%. So I've used a lot of time in, like, you know, on this show doing, like, cheerleading, like maybe trying to coach and say, guys, we're getting ready for a big game here. Because that's what we're getting ready for. And you've got the materials there to do some study. And if you don't sit there and study and study, and if you don't sit there and contemplate and say, you know, what else is jury trying to get across here? Well, I try and throw a little bit of this, like, cheerleading coaching in. Now, I may not be the best coach, but I'll tell you what, I'm sincere. And I know this is very critical. And there are thousands of people out there. I don't know your name, but you're my brothers and you're my sisters. And I'm going to keep working for y'all for the rest of my life, to the last drop, to the last breath. Very quickly, the conference call number for tonight is 712-432-0075. Access code 715-718. 8 p.m. Central Time. That's tonight, Thursday. I would like to have everybody try to be diligent. If you want to get on, call in the first 10 minutes. I'd like to be started by the end of the first 10 minutes. I really don't want to be like some of these other conference calls where people take in, you know, 20 minutes everybody having to chit-chat because people are dragging in. You call in after 10 minutes, just keep it, you know, keep your phone on mute. We don't need to know your name necessarily. You know, that's the way. So you could be late. That's all right. But, you know, we don't want to have this thing drag out forever. And I'm having to pay 10 cents a minute.
one rate doesn't cover conference calls. This conference call, if you do not have a one rate that works for long-distance calls and a conference call, it's going to cost you money. Do not call into this number if you do not have or are aware of whether you can afford to have the minute charge. In my case, it's 10 cents a minute. Check out, find out whether or not your phone is going to give you a one rate, or if you're paying, going to have to pay by the minute. Don't call in and then find out in 30 days, whoops, look at my bill. Check out what you need. I'd love to have you listen, but I don't want somebody all of a sudden, wow, I wound up with a $20, $30 bill. I don't get any of that money. The telephone company gets the money, but I don't want anybody to spend the money, especially if you don't have the money. And you might, you know, get a one rate. We are going to try and work and see if there's some way we can get this on the Internet so people without a one rate could tune in and listen. But we're not up to speed on that yet, and so I can't offer that for you. I do hope you'll call in. We're going to try and turn this into a question-answer thing where people can ask questions, and maybe I can have some answers, and maybe some other people will have some answers to offer. And eventually we'd like to get this to where we can possibly preset for the coming week what subject we're going to talk about. So tonight we're just going to generally kind of kick it around a little bit. I want to have some other people that call in and say, hey, let's talk about this, or let's talk about that, and, you know, down the road or whatever. And the way we learn is by having people offer suggestions. And it's now time, in my opinion, for some of you good folks out there to take in, offer some suggestions. And so I will pre-thank anybody that calls in, and we only have a certain amount of people that can get in on this. It's unfortunate, but there's only a certain amount of folks, and so, you know, if you get a busy, that means we ran out and didn't have enough people there. I hope that doesn't, well, I kind of hope it happens, but I hope it doesn't happen. So y'all have a great day, and may the blessings of the Father be upon all those with eyes and ears.
To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it, nice and easy does it every time, like the man says one more time, nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.